So we're going to put the website up and show you what James put up there as an invitation, because this will get me started. Once again, let's look at that picture one more time, though. Man, that just fires me up to keep on preaching. I am ready to preach right on. Is this already the most unusual place you've ever been so far?
You're up there.
Let me tell you something. People ought to like me more than they do. They should. They really should. Shouldn't they, Jerry? If they really got to know me, they'd somewhat like me. Amen. Praise the Lord. But anyway, that is a fine picture, though. Trace, you did well. All right, so let's go on up. If you're listening by radio or internet, I'm bragging about my picture on our internet page. And so we've been asking people, have you been epistolated? Have you been epistolated? And then James came up with this slide. If you are a Christian, take a journey with us through the epistles and find out who you are in Christ Jesus. Isn't that true? Right, John? Isn't that beautiful? Amen. And so James came up with this all by himself. Amen. And then this was mine. He stole this from me. This is mine. Everything that you have ever thought, believed, heard, read, or seen about God has to be reevaluated. Say that word. Reevaluated. Means you need to look at it differently. You need to examine it. It has to be reevaluated in light of the truths that are found in the epistles. And Christopher Saylor, on Wednesday night, we reminded you that the epistles are which books? Romans through Jude. And you'll never forget that for the rest of your life, will you? And if you show up Wednesday and you don't have that answer, I am going to continue teaching you with love. Amen. Romans through Jude. So that's what we've been doing. And so we've been going through the epistles, and we've kind of scattershot a little bit because I got derailed because my dear niece was killed in a car wreck during tax season. I just got news this morning that my aunt that I knew for a long time just passed away last night. She had polio, but she was a believer. I had a big influence in her life, and I helped her get acclimated to the Lord. I gave her a Bible, and so I'm not a bit sad today about that, because she's walking in heaven for the first time in about 50, 60 years. Walking, man, walking. Amen. You know, sometimes it's time to die. Now, it wasn't time for my 48-year-old niece to die in a car wreck. It wasn't time. But it was time for her to go. It was time. She'd suffered long enough. She didn't know anything about faith, or she didn't know enough about faith and healing to overcome that. And so she's in heaven. She's walking the streets of gold. Praise God. She don't have them. Any family function we ever had, she'd always show up, and she always had those crutches. And then you'd always have to carry her and pick her up and get her a place to sit to eat her food and all that. She was an ornery lady, too. No, she had no filter. She'd tell you exactly what she thought. And so if she didn't like you, she'd tell you. I got news that she passed away, and some other things went on that I won't share with everybody. But I am not going to be sad when I find out that April the 19th comes. Because you know those Yahoos have stretched tax season to the 18th. Let me tell you something. If you expect me to do anything for you, you better get there on the 15th, because all I do on the 18th is sit there and wait for anybody that wants an extension. It's all I do. Don't do anything else. So anyway, I'm not gonna be upset at all when tax season's over. I got derailed, and we didn't really systematically go through the epistles. We've just kind of been giving you different places to prove to you that it's not God doing bad things to people, even though bad things happen to people all the time, and you're not immune to that, but we need to understand that God's not the cause of it, and there is a place in Christ. There is a place in Christ. I don't want anybody to ever think that I've compromised the message. There is a place in Christ where you can live supernaturally and live in victory and not have to be overwhelmed by the sorrows that the world experiences. But to get there, you got to stay in the spirit. You can't live in the flesh more than you live in the spirit, because if you live in the flesh more than you live in the spirit, although your body although your spirit is gloriously saved, your body and your flesh are going to stay in trouble because you're living more in the natural world. And God's not controlling, this is where we're going to get to, I promise, I mean it. God's not controlling the natural world. Jesus Christ came in the earth in the flesh, and he told people, primarily told it in John's gospel, that Satan was the ruler, R-U-L-E-R. Satan was the ruler of this world. And he didn't remove that title from him. Not because he's glorifying the devil, but because the devil became the ruler of this world because Adam was supposed to be the ruler of this world and he gave it over to Satan. Now, I've been selling that for over 25 years, Peggy, and I've been selling it at a discount. I haven't charged hardly anything, although it worked out pretty well, all things being equal. But I'm telling you, hardly anybody wants to buy what we're selling, but we're going to keep selling it. Because you can't go around and tell people that God is love and then tell them that he wanted my aunt to have polio her entire life. It disconnects. It don't make sense. And so religious Pharisees and theologians had to come up with some explanation, and their explanation was, well, you just know God's in control and we don't know why these things go on. And that's just a cop-out. So he called him the ruler of this world. Now, he whipped him. He made a public spectacle of him. Colossians says that he triumphed over him, and he now has the keys of hell and death. But he whipped him, and you have to find out that he whipped him, and then you have to defeat him, not through the natural world, but through the spiritual world. And hardly anybody's going to do it. See? And that's the truth. I'm not trying to sugarcoat it. Hardly anybody's going to do it because there's a lot of things that have our attention. All my Yellowstone fans out there say amen. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put the next slide up because I think it'll keep me on track because I've got a really good idea how I want to go with this. Surely that can't be the next slide. So the day's sermon title is... Today's sermon title is God Is, dot, dot, dot. God Is. Do I have any algebra students out there? Any algebra students? Francis is timidly raising a hand up. I think we learned, huh? Yeah, you're going to do a real hard, complicated math equation. Now, how many, do I have any more algebra students? I see Becky Federico. All right. Anyway, when I went to school in algebra, I think it was, I don't know, I took all of them. I was always good at math, terrible at anything else, okay? Don't ask me to do anything about your car because I don't know nothing about it and I don't want to know nothing about it. One of the humorous things that happens during tax season is clients will get new cars and they'll make me go outside and look under the hood. And I'm going, whoo, those are nice looking pistons. In algebra, the word is, Teresa laughed about that. She laughs about it because there's one guy in particular who drives a Corvette. And he trades out that Corvette every couple of years. And I have to go out there and I have to, first of all, I never did like the Corvette anyway. Because you only get two people in it. And then your butt's driving down on the road. I like an SUV, high-powered, up-seated SUV. I want everybody to know I'm up high. Amen. Anyway, he makes me go out there and he revs the engine up, and I'm going, "Ooh, boy, that sounds like that's a four barrel." And he loves me. If he thought I really didn't care about it, it'd break his heart. So, and if he's listening, by the way, he did used to listen to these radio programs, but I don't know. Anyway, I said all that to tell you, in algebra, the word is, when you see it in a word problem, Jordan, your favorite thing, word problems. When you see it in a word problem, the word is means equal. In other words, A is to B what B is to A. So in algebra, the word is God. The word is means equal. So when I say God is, and we see what follows that, it means God equals what we say the Bible says he is. You tracking with me? All right, you won't get this very many places. And you better get here early because, boy, the seats go up fast. So the first verse, so God is, let's get to John 4:24. Let's come back to that and we'll get to this. All right, so God is means equal. Whatever's after is means that's what God is, right? And that's why you need the Bible, because the Bible's the only place you're going to go to find out who God is. If you're waiting for some minister to tell you who God is, you may be waiting for the rest of your life. Now, you did happen to come to the right minister this morning, because I do know a little bit about who he is. Nobody knows all about him, because he's, you know, think about it. Think about it for a minute. All the stuff that's ever been made, all the stuff that's ever been created, nothing compares to the human brain, and God made that. And he did it all in 6 days. And he said after he did that, he's been resting the whole time since. Isn't that cool? Amen. God is, so here's the first thing we find out about God. God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. This is so important. This was spoken to the woman at the well of Samaria. She met Jesus while the apostles had gone into town to buy food. They'd walked about 30 miles to where they were, and Jesus sat by the well, and the Bible says he was tired from the journey. People don't think about how magnificent that is, because you can't talk to Jesus and act like he don't know what it's like to be tired. So I couldn't be driving in my car on Wednesday and say, Lord, I've been doing taxes all day. You know what he could have said to me? Well, I walked from Samaria to wherever he walked, 30 miles in my bare feet or sandals or whatever they walked in. Anyway, they were off buying food because everything wasn't supernatural. They actually had to go and buy food. And while he was out buying food, this woman comes to draw a well at the water. Remember that? And Jesus is always, always doing the will of the Father. And he asked the woman to give him a drink. Okay? And she wanted to get religious with him and start talking about who's right. Are the Samaritans right or are the Jews right? And Jesus put her, first of all, he told her, he said, before I answer that question, he said, go call your husband. One of the greatest rebukes in the history of rebuking. And she said, and you know, she thought she was dealing with just an average, everyday, run-of-the-mill minister like Mark Browning. And she said, I don't have a husband. And he said to her, yeah, that would be right. You have had 5 husbands. And he said, and the one you're with now is not your husband. I like what she said. You know, I perceive that you're a prophet. And can we keep this just between us? We don't have to put this on the street, do we? So he got her attention with that, right? And then he told her, he said, it's not about being a Samaritan. It's not about being a Baptist. It's not about being a Catholic. It's not about being a Mormon or a Muslim or a Buddhist. It's not about any of that. It's about worshiping God in your spirit. And the way you're going to end up worshiping God in your spirit is by worshiping me. Because later on, she says, I want to believe in the Messiah. Man, what a fortunate day that woman had. Just going to the well to get water. See, you never know when something good's going to happen. You never know. You never know. I mean, about a month or so ago, I hit a ball in the bunker at PDS on the first tee, and I complained like a dog. I said, man, I hit that ball in that bunker every time. And this was a tournament. And normally, I don't know if any of you play golf, but anyway, average golfers or below average golfers like myself, we can't hit it out of the bunker like those pros can. It's just guesswork, luck. All it is luck. But I get up there on that first hole and I get in that bunker with a 7-iron and I thin it a little bit. And that sucker rolls out of the bunker and rolls up towards the hole where the green is, and there's a bunker over to the left, and I thought it was going to go into the bunker, and I'm going, don't go into that bunker! You know, real nice and calm. And, you know, mysteriously, somehow or another, that thing changed course, trickled up on that green, and went right in the hole. And I won $190 skin And I'm pretty famous right now for that. And, of course, all the guys that were playing with me had to tell how mad I was about being in the bunker. They couldn't share in my joy. Amen. So, anyway, what a day she had. And he told her, he said, the person that's speaking to you, I am the Messiah. And then the Bible says that she went to town. And you know what's fun about this? She went to town. You know who she told everything about? You know who she told the conversation with Jesus about? To all the men in town, because all the men knew her. Amen. You see, the Bible's so cool. And see, people were up going, oh, thou saith God, out of the King James Version of the Bible. Don't look at it like that. Look at it like it is. It's the book of life. And it tells you things the way it really happened. And this was revolutionary. This was life transforming. God is a spirit. The Spirit of God, who is a spirit, created all of the things you see in the natural. I'm going to review for the third Sunday in a row. And I know that some of y'all probably know this, but you don't know it like you think you know it. But I know that we pick up new people in person and on the radio and on the internet. I'm going to review it one more time. The God who is a spirit created everything you see in the natural. Everything you see in the natural was created by things you can't see. Everything that was created in the natural by God was placed under the control and the dominion of the man that he made and the woman that he made named Adam and Eve. He loved them. He provided everything they'd ever need. He doesn't create, he creates everything you need before he tells you what you need to do. Don't ever forget that about God. That's why people that are looking to be healed or looking to be saved or looking to be delivered or looking to be happy, they don't understand that's already been provided through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. What some minister's supposed to tell you is you need to reach out and take it by faith through grace. And that was my first spit bath. Early in the sermon. Amen? That is so good. That is so good. That is so unfamiliar to 99.999999% of Christian people. And it's been in the book for 2,000 years, and it's because we don't focus on the epistles. But we do, don't we? And aren't you glad of it? So the spiritual world that God is, and God's the total boss in the spirit, total boss. Did you notice that when Jesus was on the earth, he didn't sweat the devil for one moment? Did you notice that the first time that demons encounter him, they holler at him and say, man, what are you doing here tormenting us? Now, this is fascinating, and then I think I need to say this because I need people to understand this. I don't know the answer to this. I can simply tell you what the Bible says. It's fascinating that demons encounter him and they fall down in front of him and they say, why have you come to torment us before the time? See, they know who the king is. They know who God is. James says that, you know, you fear God, don't worry about that. The devil's doing tremble. But the reason why they can do what they do is they stole the natural world out from under Adam. Now let me ask you a question, let's be honest. You can't hear that enough. You got to remind yourself of that every day. You can't hear that enough. That's why things are all bizarre and things are out of whack. And that's why people kill people. That's why people are sick. That's why people are depressed. That's why people are broke. God never intended anybody to do without anything. Everything was provided. Everything was provided. But Satan came in. He became the ruler of this world, and he controls the natural world. If you want God to go to work for you and do what you need done in your life, you've got to learn how to live from your spirit, and you've got to operate from the spirit world and not the natural world. And when you do, you will overcome the rotten, stinking devil. And how you do that, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Y'all see that? God is a spirit. God is spirit. That's one thing God is. God is dot, dot, dot. Remember? Now, here's the other thing that the Bible says God is, and this is what's out of whack, and guess what we're going to get to today? We're going to get to the love slide. 1 John 4:8, look at this. And don't look at this now from the negative perspective. Look at it from what we're teaching you about God. He who does not love does not know God. Remember, is means what? Is means equal. Is means equal. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Oh, so much teaching is necessary in this passage. So we've learned God is dot, dot, dot. We've learned that God is a spirit, and we've learned that God, who is a spirit, is love. This word in the Bible is unique to the Bible. It's a word that only the Bible can identify. It's called agape, A-G-A-P-E. It's not natural human love. How many of you know natural human love is functioning? I'm hoping most of us are here because of natural human love. See? And even if you didn't get here by natural human love, just rejoice that you got here. Amen. And let whoever you're mad at off the hook. Amen. Let them off the hook. Whoever you're mad at, let them off the hook. Because ultimately, all that really matters is how's things with you and God. Don't shout me down now just because I'm preaching real good. So natural love, there's natural love, natural affection, but that's not agape love. How many of you know, and how many of you can identify, that natural human love can turn sour? I'm sure, I'll use this example, probably shouldn't, but I'm sure at one point Will Smith and Chris Rock might have been friends. But it turned sour all of a sudden, didn't it? And when natural human love turns sour, it behaves improperly. And the problem with natural human love, and it's a good thing. See, I think anybody that's courting, and this is just me, I give you this for free, and you can do whatever you want to with it, but I think if you're courting somebody, you ought to have a little element of natural human love. You ought to be looking at them and go, whew, huh, amen. I know Teresa did for me. And I had to, you know, easy, easy. I haven't made my mind up yet. Donnie, I begged her. I literally got on my hands and knees and crawled and said, I'll do anything it takes if you'll just marry me. Amen. I'm a phony sometimes, Chris. And she bought it. She bought it. She said, oh, get up. I'll marry you. That's how Jordan feels about me. I'm sure of it. I'm positive of it. But anyway, this kind of love, when it doesn't get its way, when things don't start going its way, it turns on you. And that's why marriages without some element of, this is free, but marriages without some element of God's kind of love cannot be fun. Because you need God's help to love anybody properly. Amen? Amen? Amen. This word love here is not natural human love. It's not erotic love. It's not friendship love. It's God. It's who God is. It doesn't mean that he has to get up in the morning and try to be this way. Kenneth Copeland and them taught a series of messages and told us we got to get up every morning and try to be agape. And I found out that don't work. I found out what you got to do is get up every morning and understand that God is agape. Oh, there's a big difference. See, God doesn't get up and by willpower decide, I'm going to love them today. Oh, Jesus, let's grab hands and let's pray and fast and bawl and squall and let's just hope I can love that rotten bunch down there. No, he gets up. He don't get up because he never sleeps or slumbers. But every moment of every second of every day through all eternity, God is agape. That's who he is. He can't be anything else. That's why when Jesus Christ, who we're celebrating on this glorious Palm Sunday, just in case people are listening and they think we don't follow the Christian calendar, I mean, next Sunday's Easter. We'll make some hard-boiled eggs and have them here for you next week. That's why when the Lord Jesus Christ manifested on the earth, he couldn't help but go about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And if God's with you, and if God's motivating you, and if God is your the person you're pleasing, you're going to do good things for people because God is agape. And that's the other reason why we don't buy all that stuff that people are trying to sell, that, you know, God wanted my, I'll use this a couple more weeks, that he somehow wanted Melissa to be killed in a car accident. No, he didn't. That's not the act of love. Love doesn't, Romans 13:10, I can't turn to all these verses, Romans 13:10 says, love does no harm to a neighbor. That accident brought harm. Brought harm to her husband, brought harm to her daughter, brought harm to her mother, brought harm to her father, and brought harm to the family. God wants everybody to live their lives out and live it successfully. With long life will I satisfy you. But in order to do that, you got to understand who he is. You have to understand the two different worlds, the natural world and the spirit world, and you got to stay focused on the spirit world. Can I get an amen? So God is, or God equals, agape. So now you can put Romans 8:32 up and you'll gain an understanding of what this means. You'll understand why this is true. And if you can get your mind around it, you'll have it made. You'll have it made. Life won't be easy. There'll be challenges. You'll get phone calls. There'll be car accidents, there'll be things that go on you wish didn't happen, but if you understand Romans 8:32, you can overcome all of it because you understand the verse before this. Let's read 31 and 32 today. Let's read that first. 31 and 32 today. What then shall we say to these things? Now, let's look at this. See, man, it's so good. Thank you, Lord. All right. What then shall we say to these things? If God, and God is, two things we've learned, God is spirit and God is love. See, he's not in the natural. He's not there. He's in the spirit and he's the boss. Amen? What then shall we say to these things? If God, who is agape, who is a spirit, if God is for us, who can be against us? And then the next verse is, it's beyond comprehension to the human brain. And that's the reason why the only thing that can really receive agape is the human heart. And the human heart's craving it. We're craving agape love. And let me say this to you, free of charge, and this is all in the book of Romans, so I'm on track with the epistles. The book of Romans actually says in Romans 5:5 that this love has been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Why would the love of God be shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit? Because God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are one. And if God is agape, then so is the Holy Spirit. And that's part of the reason why the Holy Spirit doesn't show up like we think he should, because he can't show up in the middle of confusion and chaos and strife and jealousy. And don't get deceived by some of the churches that you look at and see. Don't get deceived into thinking, everything's wonderful. In the background, they're having deacon revolts and elder revolts. Not all of them, I'm just saying. The Holy Spirit will not operate in a spirit of jealousy and envy, strife. He won't do it. And he also won't do it if you don't want him to do it. And so most churches have kicked him out because they're scared. They're scared if the reality of God shows up, they'll lose some of their prominent members. We'll lose them. I guess the greatest line that Jesse Duplantis has ever had, and I'm not a big promoter of those prosperity gospel preachers that fly around in million-dollar airplanes and wear $1,000 suits and brag about how they have the largest, biggest house in New Orleans. I'm not a big fan of that. But they do some things that are good and respectable, and they're lifting up Jesus on some level. And I guess the greatest line he ever gave was, most churches are deacon-possessed. Not ours. We got a bunch of deacons that love me. Amen. Can I get an amen, deacons? So here it is. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Now get your mind around this. How shall he not with him? Let me rephrase that. Get your heart around this. Get your heart. Let your heart receive this. How shall he not with him also freely? Everybody say freely.
Freely.
Oh, say it again.
Freely.
How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? That's what agape has to do. It's not hard for God. See, the devil's lied about God. The devil's told people lies about God, that God's out to get you and that he's holding your sins against you and he can't do anything in your life because you got sin in your life. Well, he can't do anything for anybody because everybody on some level's got some kind of sin in their life. You got to get past it. You got to get free of the condemnation of the law of sin and death, and you've got to understand the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. For what the law could not do, I'm in Romans, for what the law could not do because of the weakness of flesh, God did by sending his Son in the likeness of flesh to set us free. And he whom the Son sets free is free in. Now, somebody said, I haven't heard that much. I haven't heard that very much. I understand that. And let me say this to you. You need to make that the primary thing you do here. And full disclosure, I'm just as bad as the rest of you, the rest of us. I don't listen and think and meditate on this truth nearly as much as I should. Because let me say this to you, too, and this is going to make some people mad. This would cure anybody of depression. So you'd never feel sorry for yourself, and you'd never be depressed, no matter what went on. No matter what. I mean, there's some bad things going on. There's some people going through some bad stuff in Ukraine. But one of the things you could think about, if you're in Christ, is this life's but a vapor. I'm going to spend all of eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. My aunt lived a bad physical life her whole life, but bless God, right now she don't have a crutch. She's with God. She's with the Lord Jesus. She's with the multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God. And I guarantee you they could care less what those crooked politicians are doing in Washington, D.C. right now. Amen? I have to admit it still bothers me, though. So please vote on November the 8th. And please make sure they register your vote. And look around and make sure that they haven't headed to some nursing home and got 100% participation from all the people in nursing homes. Oh, they finagled their way around it. Don't shout me down now just because I'm preaching real good. So, does that make sense to everybody? Do you understand that? Quit looking at God like he's out to get you, like he's your enemy. Actually, let's look at Romans 5, 8, and 9, and then we're going to put the love slide up. I promise. We're going to put the love slide up today. But let's look at Romans 5, 8, and 9. But God, watch this now, and this will help you. And, you know, the Lord's leading me in Romans because we're going to move on into 1 Corinthians with the love slide. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, we didn't deserve. See, one of the things that the human heart doesn't understand is how wicked it is. See, it doesn't under, and I'm talking about in relation to God. See, God never has a negative thought. See, he never has a agape can't have negative thoughts. He never has a negative thought. He never thinks the worst of anybody. And now let's all come clean. Can we get out of our religious mode here and just be honest? I have a hard time thinking good about any of them, about anybody. Amen? But God sees the best in everybody. Has to. He's agape. See that? But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's love. Verse 9, this is what I wanted you to see. Much more then. Everybody say much more then.
Much more then.
And actually, I got to go to verse 10. Having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Well, man, that's enough information right there to get you through this rotten, stinking world. I'm saved from wrath. That's why I don't go listen to wrath preachers. He's wasting his time with me. He can talk about the wrath of God all he wants, but it's not for me. I've been saved from wrath. See, a lot of people want to talk wrath because they want to get even with people. That's not the right attitude. The right attitude, I mean this sincerely, the right attitude, and I'm telling you sincerely on this, the right attitude is as long as you're on this earth in the body and you're on this earth and your spirit's on this earth, you ought to be interested in seeing every person saved, no matter what. Now, it would be very difficult for me to find out that Joe Biden actually got saved, but I guess somehow or another I'd rejoice about it. Amen. Because that thing that was going on this week up there, that'd make your flesh crawl. All that hypocrisy and phoniness. But see, that's not how God looks at it. That's not how God looks at it. And then I want to say one other thing. I will say one other thing. I'm going to add one other thing here that maybe doesn't fit my sermon. But I will say one other thing. Don't worry about it anyway, because God's going to have the final say. Everybody's going to stand in front of the judgment seat of Almighty God and be judged for what they did in the body, whether good or bad. Now, if you're a Christian, you're not being judged whether or not you go to heaven, because you already got access to heaven through the blood of Jesus. But if you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says that every person who's not found in the book of life are going to be thrown in the lake of fire that burns forever and ever. And that shouldn't make any of us happy. And it doesn't make God happy. And it's the last thing God wants to do, and that's the reason why it's been so long. That's the reason why he's not come back like the early church thought he would. Because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. And I'll admit to you right now, I'll tell you right now that I've gotten a little off track, because my central purpose should be to minister the gospel to everybody and let God sort the rest of it out. And the other thing you got to know, too, is that there's a law that operates on this earth that's always operated, and that is this. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he'll also reap. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Are y'all just so enthused about what I'm saying? I'm telling you, man, you guys are thinking with me this morning. I like it when you do that. Look at verse 10. For if, this is what's so cool, for if when we were, look at that word, enemies. See, the world's at enmity with God, because natural man is in enmity with the spiritual God, because the spiritual God, God is a spirit, God is love, God believes the best of every person, and natural man does exactly the opposite. Natural man's out for themselves. God is out for others. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, here's another one of these words, much more. Everybody say it.
Much more.
Say it again.
Much more.
That ought to be put on your refrigerator. Much more. Not much more chocolate cake. Not much more vanilla ice cream. No. Just a little bit of that. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. See why you got to get a pistol lighted? I'm motivated. 25 years down the road, a lot of bumps and bruises, but I'm still motivated because I believe that every person should have the privilege of hearing what I just said. And somebody says, so I've got somebody in my family that claims that it doesn't matter if we say it because it's up to God for them to receive it. I've got people in my family, some portion of my family has bought into that lie. That's another lie the devil told. Hey, it's not my job to make you believe it. My job's to tell it to you. And woe is me if I don't tell it to you. Can I get an amen? Amen. Tell it to people. You never know when the light's going to come on. You never know who it's going to hit. Nobody would have ever thought in a million years I'd be up here today giving what I was back in the day. Nobody would ever thought I'd be up here ministering the gospel. And stayed with it. Stayed with it. Through the ups and the downs and the ins and the outs. You know why, though? You know why? I'll tell you exactly why. Because of that book. Because of the epistles. Because I still believe it just as much today as I did 38 years ago. I still believe it. And I still believe that it's the answer for every single living human being. Amen. Not your psychiatrist, not your doctor, not your spouse. No. Some of those things have their place, but your final fundamental answer is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And until you come in contact with him, you've never really lived your life. Amen. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. That life was the light of man. It's the light that gives light to every man that cometh into the earth. That's the reason why the book of Acts says that in him we live and move and have our being. And all God is hoping is somehow or another you'll reach for him and grope for him and find him. Because it's so hard for natural man to find him, because natural man can't understand the God of love. And that's why theologians had to come up with lies about him. Not in our house. Amen. That's a sports term. You're not going to beat the Cubs at Wrigley. You just keep believing that, honey. That pitching staff will show up sooner or later. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Guess what's going to happen next week? We're going to talk more about the love slide. Let's put it up. Let's at least get it up. And let's talk. Let's look at it. When we see this word, everybody, let's spell it, L-O-V-E. Spell it, everybody. L-O-V-E. Is it talking about natural human love? Is it talking about erotic love? Is it talking about friendship love? It's talking about agape love. It's talking about God. And so if you're trying to place God in a situation where this is not being manifested, I'm proposing to you that it wasn't God and it never was God.
Right.
See, what people don't understand. Here's why this thing got off track too. Here's another thing that people don't understand. Of course, when something bad happens, like car wrecks and plane wrecks and premature death and things like that, of course people's hearts it can work a couple of ways. You can get mad at God because you think he's controlling everything. It could work that way, and that's what happened to Melissa's husband, I think. He's mad right now. And so now's not the time to beat him up and tell him how much God loves him. Especially if you've never been in this kind of an environment. Give him some time and then take him a track on love. Amen. But here's what people need to know. Of course, God, who's love, is going to be there to comfort the person that needs comfort. And so they said, oh, Confucius. Oh, so God wanted that all to happen so he could be nice to him. No, he wanted to be nice to him anyway. He didn't want to use tragedy to be nice to you. He wants to be nice to you in the middle of triumph. He can't be nothing but nice, because that's what he is. God, agape. I got to go quick and we'll get through it. We'll start Sunday, next Sunday, just with, oh, it's Easter Sunday. We may have to put up a resurrection verse. But God, here we go. We'll just do it. We'll do it now and we'll come back to it. God is, let me just get up here and stand up here and stay here. God is patient. Everybody say it. God is
patient.
Does he have to try to be patient? Or is he patient? Is he patient in your life? Has he been patient in my life? God is kind. Boy, could we use a lot of that in our world today? How many kind people you run into? Not very many. And if they are kind to you, here's another thing you need to know about God. Very important. God does not manipulate. Write that down. You need to write that down. Manipulation is evil. If I'm doing a certain thing for Teresa, and my purpose in it is to get something from her, that's manipulation, and that's not God. And by the way, we've all done it. I mean, I don't always wash the dishes because I want to. Amen? By the way, it don't hurt to wash the dishes, though. Happy wife, happy life. I don't always want to do the laundry. But listen, here's the thing you got to know about God. God never is doing something to manipulate you. He's simply doing it because that's who he is. He just loves you. He just loves you. Focus on that love. Close your eyes tonight and you go to bed and say, God, you love me. You love me. You love me. I might as well just accept it. You love me. You're not holding my sins against me. You're not keeping track of all the bad things I've done. You love me. Whose phone keeps going off? I love you. Let me use that as an illustration to show you God and the devil. Whose phone's that going off? Shut that thing off! Here's God. Would you be so kind as to shut that light? All right. Notice this. And this is all about God. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. Oh, how many marriages have been destroyed by envy, right? How many businesses have been destroyed by envy? How many churches have been destroyed by envy? It does not boast. Oh, that's the generation we're in now. It's the selfie generation. Taking pictures. I don't want nobody. Now, you know, I'm kind of having fun with my picture up there, but genuinely, I understand that it's wrong to be in love with yourself to the point where you don't care about nobody but yourself. You should respect yourself. Are you listening to me? But see, love does not boast. See, love doesn't score a touchdown and then flex their muscles in the end zone. Or beat their chest like Sammy Sosa used to do when he hit a home run. I'm on the Cubbies this morning. I'm sorry, let me get on. Love doesn't boast. Love is not proud. Y'all see that? What about this? Love is not rude. Oh, here's a good one. It is not self-seeking. Now, I'm going to spend a little time on this next one. And by the way, who is this? Who is this a picture of? So if God is love, if he had somebody killed in a car wreck, it wouldn't fit any of these. That's not kind, right? That's not kind. Listen to this. It is not easily angered. See that word there? You know, and I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this. It says it's not easily angered. There is a place in God where anger will manifest, but it's only for the sake of righteousness. See, Jesus went into the temple twice, early in his ministry and at the end of his ministry, and overturned the money changers' tables and made a whip of cord and drove them rascals out of there and said, get out of here. You've turned this into a religious, what's those things called that you have on Saturday? Flea market. You've turned this into a religious flea market. Get out of here. But I want to caution you about righteous anger. Make sure it's godly anger and not your anger. Now notice this. Boy, how many of you are glad about this right here? It keeps no record of wrongs. Oh, glory be to God. See, some people are miserable right now. They're in misery right now because somebody did something bad to them and they won't release that person. Get over it. Get over it. All you're doing is harming yourself. You're harming yourself. God keeps no record of wrongs. Nobody that's ever come to Jesus did God turn down because he said, I've got a record and your record's bad. It does not delight in evil. I'm going to spend a little time on that. It does not delight in evil. Jesus said in the Gospels, what men consider something worthy or worthwhile is an abomination in the sight of God. What we glorify in our politics and in our country, a lot of the stuff we glorify, it's an abomination to God. It's an abomination. See, he does not delight in evil. It rejoices with the truth. Can I get an amen? It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, never fails. Love never fails. God will never fail us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. If he said he's in our church service, he's here. You don't have to ask him. It's an insult to him. Amen. Let's stand up on our feet. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Man, it's fun to preach on love. Tell you what's even more fun to preach on love. It's fun to think about love. Get in the habit of laying down at night before you go to bed and just remind yourself that God loves you. One of my go-to verses is Ephesians 2:4. We won't turn there, but it's one of my go-to verses to think on. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved me. And then Galatians 2 says that Jesus loved me and gave himself for me. Listen, if you're listening by radio or internet this morning, you made a good call. If you didn't turn it off, you've made a good call. If you've taken the time to go on the internet and listen to this sermon, you've made a good call because you've been drawn to God by his love. We're going to finish Romans probably for a little while, and I'll just tell you this other verse. It says that it is the goodness of God that leads you to repentance. So come to him right now while your heart's ready, while you're ready to receive. And why you come to him now, because you know he loves you. And he's not holding your past against you. He's not holding your mistakes against you. He loves you. He wants you to know how much he loves you. He created you because he loves you. He created all of this because he loves us. It was for his pleasure that we were made and created. Oh, come to him this morning. Simply say this simple prayer. Say this on Palm Sunday. Say it with me. Say, dear God, I receive Jesus because I want to know this love. I want to know the real love of God. The love of God that is unconditional towards me and towards everyone else. So I say with my mouth, because I believe in my heart, Jesus, you died for me and rose again for my salvation. And by faith, I am now a child of God. in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, some of y'all, the website is lifeinchristchurch.net. Click on this one. This is called God Is. And listen to this again. It's got to be listened to over and over. It took me a long, long time to get my heart and mind to really embrace this, because I made a lot of mistakes as a Christian, and it took my heart a long time to understand God wasn't holding it against me. He loved me when I was a sinner, and He loves me now that I'm a child of God. And I can't do anything about it. I just got to accept it. So listen to this again. Follow along, look these Bible verses up, and establish a living, vibrant relationship with God through Jesus Christ and through the Bible. It's in the holy and glorious name of Jesus we pray, and everybody said,
amen.
Amen. We'll see you here Easter Sunday next week.